NPR.
Hey everyone, Stacey in Cardiff here, and today is Friday.
Yes.
At the Indicator from Planet Money.
It is.
It's our favorite day of the week for a number of reasons, but mainly because I finally get to end my losing streak in rock, paper, scissors against Stacey.
That is some big talk, Cardiff Garcia. And if the last three matches in a row have anything to say about it, I don't know if you should be talking so tough.
Yeah, we should tell our listeners why we play rock, paper, scissors.
Yes.
It's because you and I have each chosen our indicator of the week.
Yeah.
We don't tell each other what that indicator is before we tape the show. And so we basically ambush each other with them and we play rock, paper, scissors for who gets to go first.
Yes. And we have some indicators of the week from listeners, too.
Absolutely. Coming right up.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, making investing in private real estate as easy as investing in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. Build a more diversified portfolio today at Fundrise, FUNDRISE.com/indicator. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One, offering Capital One Shopping, a downloadable browser extension that searches various sites for shoppers. What's in your wallet? More at CapitalOneShopping.com.
Okay, Stacey,
yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
On three. Here we go. One, two, three.
Oh!
No! No! Four in a row!
Scissors, cuts, paper! Scissor, cuts, paper!
Again.
4-4. The streak continues.
What the chances are of losing four consecutive games of rock, paper, scissors? Astronomical. But anyways,
I mean, honestly,
congrats.
Mathematically, this is not a coincidence.
All right. So you get to go first. What is your indicator of the week?
It's really actually hard to move on. I think we should just spend a couple more minutes talking about my rock, paper, scissors skills and like just the psychological game that I have been commanding.
I'm sorry. I'm losing the connection.
Oh, you're losing the connection?
Sorry,
yeah. Driving right into a tunnel. It happens. Okay. My indicator of the week is 10%.
10%. Okay.
10%.
What's going on with 10%?
10%, and this will make sense very quickly, is the amount of global trade that passes through the Suez Canal.
Oh, okay. I know where we're headed with this.
You know where we're headed with this. Yes, so this week has been full of these, I have to say, kind of comical images. I mean, I know it's not necessarily funny, but of a ship that was blown sideways in the canal and got stuck, and all these ships that were backed up, which I have to say, Cardiff, just reminds me of the 7 years I lived in Los Angeles and spent lots of time trying to do 3-point turns on narrow roads, backing up traffic. But the thing that blew my mind reading the stories was just how big of a deal this was in terms of global trade. 90% of goods are still transported by ship in the world. It's like almost all of our goods are transported by ship. So, of course, one ship gets stuck in the Suez Canal and it completely disrupts global trade. It pushed up oil prices because like 10% of refined oil passes through the Suez Canal. And I mean, it's just shocking how much this one ship disrupted trade around the whole world.
Yeah. And I mean, trade is a very important part of the global economy, obviously. So I am hoping that the ship does get unstuck as quickly as possible, because that'll make it possible for us to then be able to laugh about it instead of lamenting the fact that, you know, trade is being slowed down. Because the longer it persists, the less funny it becomes. But if it gets unstuck quickly, then I think it's okay to have a chuckle at this.
Well, it's a little bit hard. I mean, the ships are just massive. So it is 1,300 feet long, which is, of course, I looked this up because journalists have to do this, the size of 4 soccer fields.
Wow.
Isn't that cute?
That
it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, these ships are vast. They are stacked high with the shipping containers. And, you know, like, most of the stuff that we get when we order things comes to us via those ships.
Excellent indicator. So 10% of global trade passing through the Suez Canal.
Yes.
Amazing.
Okay, paper, take it away.
Are you ready for mine? All right.
Yeah.
This week marked a kind of strange and unexpected one-year anniversary. So on March 23rd of last year, that was the day that the stock market in the U.S. hit rock bottom. And in the year that followed, so through earlier this week, the U.S. stock market went up 76%. That's my indicator. And wow, it is the best year of U.S. stock market returns in almost a century. I mean, going all the way back to roughly the 1930s. We have mentioned many times on this show that the vast majority of the U.S. stock market is owned by a relatively small share of the population that's pretty well off.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about the performance of the stock market is that it's largely a byproduct of economic policies that kept the economy from collapsing and that were not targeted at helping the well-off. That actually, the economic policies that have been put in place since about a year ago have largely and successfully targeted helping people lower down the income distribution, people who will have lost their jobs because of the pandemic and who really would have needed the help. And I think it shows that the economy is not a zero-sum game, that it's quite interconnected, that policies that end up bolstering overall economic growth and that also are targeted in this case at helping the people who really needed the help did not hurt people that didn't necessarily need the help, that we all kind of were in this together. And I think that's an interesting lesson and one we're going to be kind of teasing out in the years to come and assessing its implications.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. And by the way, we saved the best for last, Stacey. Our own listeners.
Yes.
Indicators of the week, they sent us.
This is Lori Benson in Lincoln, Nebraska. Every 4 years, the American Society of Civil Engineers puts out a report card on the nation's infrastructure. Things like roads, bridges, broadband. 4 years ago, the grade was a D+. This year's grade is better at C-, but you have to wonder if the country should lose its television privileges until our grade improves.
Nah, we just need to grade on a curve.
I love this. It's like a pothole indicator.
A literal upgrade is needed.
I love it. Yes.
This is Amy McPherson calling from beautiful, snowy Fairbanks, Alaska. A big number for Alaskans this week is 16, as in the proposed 16 cent per gallon fuel tax, which would double the existing tax, set back in 1970 and currently the lowest in the nation.
Wow. I mean, that seems like a big moment for Alaska, but also I feel like, you know, Alaskans need some love because there's winters and it's very dark.
Hello, Planet Money. This is Lynn calling from Prague. My indicator of the week that I wanted to share with you is $861 billion. This is the amount of total e-commerce sales in 2020 in the U.S., which is a 44% increase from 2019.
Prague? That's amazing.
Shout out to Prague. All right.
And e-commerce, of course. Staying on topic. I love these, by the way.
Yeah, these are fun.
Hi, Cardiff. I've got a rock, paper, scissors strategy for you. So don't let Stacey listen to this.
Turn it off.
In 2014, there was this big study on rock, paper, scissors strategy.
Stacey, don't listen.
The researchers noticed an interesting pattern. The pattern was that winners tend to stick with the action that won, but losers tend to switch. And they switch in a predictable pattern. It's the pattern of the name of the game, rock, then paper, then scissors. And Cardiff, I went back and looked at your three plays, and sure enough, you started with rock, then you went to paper, then you went to scissors. My guess is Stacey is on to you, and she's going to expect you to go rock. So I would recommend that you go scissors. Good luck. I hope you're first this week.
Sadly, we played that excellent advice in front of Stacey.
So. And after you lost another round of rock, paper, scissors in exactly the way he predicted. I love this guy.
Awesome.
I'm going to want to see a copy of this study immediately.
Yeah. And if you, our listeners, have more indicators of the week you'd like to send us, email them to indicator@npr.org. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin and fact-checked by Sam Tsai. It was edited by Jolie Myers, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.